You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
I think what you're trying to ask is why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture. I think that's what you're asking. It's I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it. So again, I think I said this before in this same interview, I think at some time before, my job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them. And I will do it by whatever means necessary.
I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. Welcome to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. We are the return of intelligent radio as we ensure the free flow of opinions and push the envelope on the questions America's afraid to ask in the mainstream media. Good morning to all the intellectual outcasts out there listening. I have one returning guest and one new guest on the show this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and get them introduced. I'm going to start with our returning guest, Dr. Gerald Hassell, or as I call him, Dr. G. If you will, Dr. G, say hello to the intellectual outcasts out there listening. If you will, give a little bit of your background, then we'll introduce our new guest as well. But thank you for being on the show with me this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, man. It's a great way to start today on such a relevant, important topic. So my name is Dr. Gerald Hassell. I'm a trained clinical psychologist. I've been in the field and worked in various capacities since the 80s now. So I've been around the block multiple times, around the planet multiple times in this field. I have a private practice where I work with black women, black men, families, and have been dedicated to the mental health and the wellness and spiritual health of black people for a very long time. And that's a very brief introduction of who I am.
No, I love it. Thanks for having you back, Dr. G. Our next guest, Chris Day. A little background noise. I don't know if that's something moving in the background, but if you will, Chris James King, thanks for you coming on today. We've been interacting over the last couple of weeks in some major ways. I was fortunate enough. Let me highlight this real quick. I'll let you introduce yourself and give whatever background you like, but I would love to highlight that I was fortunate enough to be a part of your Get Off the Couch concert and mental health conference just last week. And being a part of your conference actually sparked today's show. So I wanted to just kind of say thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your event. And now here you are returning the favor just a week later with us, as well as we hung out last night at the Mental Dialogue Experience. But if you will, King, say hello to the Truth Seekers, hello to Dr. G, and give people a little bit of your background, as you are a mental health advocate, more than that, actually. But if you will, yeah, give people your background before we get into this morning's discussion question.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely, brother. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to have this conversation. So I'm Chris James. I wear the hat of a mental health first aid instructor and an anger management specialist. I'm the director of an organization called Creative Connections, who hosted the mental health conference and concert that you attended this past weekend. I've been in this space, you know, for quite a while, coaching folks in our community, black men specifically, and Also well known as a nationally award-winning spoken word artist and keynote speaker, who has blessed two TED Talks and the United States Capitol, so on and so forth. And yeah, man, I'm happy to be in this space, man, to contribute to the conversation of how, you know, we can all continue this healing journey. You know, like I said last night, and I said all the time, that the best thing that we can do as black men and as black people is not to chase generational wealth financially, but generational healing. And that's what I'm on. How can I help black folks heal? So, yeah, let's do it.
Now, let's do it. Lord, glad to have you again. Appreciate you. Also, would like to highlight, I think this is just something to highlight going into this morning's discussion question. Dr. G is also the author of The Impact of Father Absence on African-American Boys. Just wanted to highlight and share that just in case anybody, after hearing this brother's expertise, if you haven't heard him on the show before, you probably want to pick that up. But we're going to get started the way that we always start. Dr. G, it's been a minute since you've been on the show, but hopefully this will ring a bell for you. I always like to ask before we go to our first break and here in the next few minutes, so we'll keep the answers short before the break. But I always like to ask, when you first heard the question worded that particular way, can you recall the first thing that popped in your head when I called you, Dr. G, and said, hey, I want to do, my husband, boyfriend is struggling with mental health. What should I do? Do you recall your first initial thought? Not the second or third thought. We'll say that for after the break, but just your initial thought when you heard that question. Dr. G, that's for you. All right, Dr. G is calling in.
My initial response was the importance and relevance of the question. Right? Like, we can't get the answers unless we have intelligent questions that we ask. And I thought that it was an important question to ask and an important discussion to have. So immediately when you told me the topic and the question, I began to kind of create a mental framework in order to respond to it. So in my mind, I'm contextualizing and creating a mental diagram of how the support can be and what that support would look like, you know, from my perspective. But, you know, my initial response is like, wow, this is a relevant topic and important question. And that's why I'm here this morning.
No, absolutely. That's exactly why we get you. For those that don't know, we like to have experts in these spaces on any discussion where there is expertise necessary. We don't want to just be throwing around opinions. We want to have people with some backup and background. And with that said, Chris James, obviously in this space as well. I did say I would highlight this real briefly. I'm going to ask you the same question, Chris. What was your first thought beforehand? I have to highlight, in particular, this show. I was on the Black Men Need Healing panel at your conference, Get Off the Couch. And the moderator, the amazing Jay White, asked a question in a sense, what is a women's role in black men's healing? And it was some things that were said, and we'll talk about some of that after the break. Things that said, I was like, you know, I need to further extend that question. So again, thank you when you accepted the invitation to come on and extend that question, extend this conversation. But if you will, just your first initial thought when you heard the question worded the way we worded it on today's show. My husband / boyfriend is struggling with mental health. What should I do? Can you recall what popped in your head when I said, hey, man, can you help me out?
Yeah, man. It made me think about, so my wife and I, we have a podcast called In Purpose with Chris and Christy. And we had a conversation about the importance of considering mental health in relationships. And in that, we talked about the role, you know, that a woman and a man should play in each other's life. And so when this topic came up for me, what came up for me is not, does a woman play a role in our healing? What came up for me was how, the action steps, what does that look like? But also what came up in my mind was all the ways that women have played a role in my healing process and all the ways that women have played a role in the opposite of my healing process. And cause more trauma and more wounds and what that looked like. So you know, that's what came up for me. And when we talked, when that question was posed the other day by Jay White at the Get Off the Couch conference, you know, what's the role of a black woman in our healing process. Some, I think he also followed up with what does a woman play a role, right?
Yeah, he did. So let's do this, brother. Let's go to break real quick, and we'll get into we'll come back and let you kind of get into, like you said, that follow-up question, because it definitely changed the angle. You know what I mean? We were happy to answer, but then he said that. We was like, hold on, that's a different question, but we'll get back to that after this first break. All right, you're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. This morning's discussion question, my husband slash boyfriend is struggling with mental health. What should I do? Our special guest is Dr. Gerald Hassell, Dr. G, as well as Chris James. We'll be right back, where all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
Men don't talk. And this is something that we have to look at. They're taught to be a man and internalize everything. And then on top of that, us women, we have never learned. We were never taught what it means to create the atmosphere for your man to open up himself to you. And so in times and moments where your man opens up himself to you, it's very hard for you to receive it. In fact, in a moment where you were upset at him, angry at him, mad at him, you used that information that he gave you, which was so sacred, against him. It was a slap to his face. And now you're asking yourself, why doesn't he talk? Why doesn't he want to speak to me? Why isn't he going the same way that he did before? So we have to learn how to create the atmosphere for a man to open up himself to us. But it's imperative that we know that this atmosphere comes from within. This is something that comes from within the woman.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, my significant other is struggling with mental health. What should I do? A special guest of Dr. Gerald Hassell, as well as Chris James. Chris, you are going a little further into that second follow-up question from the mental health space as we hear a cut, just kind of breaking down, if you will, in a sense, discussing that role between the black man and black woman. But if you will, you can continue your conversation, King.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for allowing me to expand on that. So again, the question was, what's the role of a black woman or a woman in a man's healing process? And then the follow-up question was, you know, does a woman play a role in a man's healing process? And my answer is absolutely a woman plays a role in a man's healing process. But I think the conversation is how and what does that look like? I don't think that's been modeled out loud enough. We had a conversation last night. It was, at your event, the Mental Dialogue, we had an Olympic-style conversation, and we went in circles of having conversations, and one of the things you had, it talked about women being masculine and the absence of a father in a home, right? And I think one of the statistics that you had on the prompt, it talked about the percentage of fathers or children being raised in fatherless homes. And I think that percentage was 73%. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I'll clarify that. I would like to give, I'm real big into data or whatever. So, yeah, while we do have 73% of our black children specifically born in a sense out of wedlock, if you will, that number ends up being, as far as outside the home, the actual number ends up being 56% when you include non-marriages as well. So I always like to give specifics. Sometimes people lock that number in, assuming that, 73% of men are outside the home. But if you don't include marriage, then it comes out to about 56%, just to give you a detail. But go ahead. We'll finish your statement, King.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. That's why I like you, because you're smart. Amen. To a smart brother, I brought that up to say, so when we look at these numbers, right, because these numbers are real, and they lead to a larger conversation, a larger point. But when I hear these numbers and I look at the 60% of children in homes without their fathers, right, that also leads us to understand that 60% of children are in homes with just their mothers. And then I think a little bit further, right? So as a person who works in the space with the youth, right, as a youth mental health first aid instructor, I look at the statistics to talk about how 50% of mental illnesses are developed by the age of 14. And then I think about the clients the young man that I worked with in Hershey, Pennsylvania a few months ago, who talked about how at 23, he's now realizing that most of his trauma, and it's confusing to him how most of his trauma stems from the mother that raised him by herself. And then I think about what Kevin Samuels said. I know a lot of folks don't want to rock with him, but when he said, man, you know, we give a lot of, you know, props to single mothers, and I do too. I was raised by a single mother. Amen. Hallelujah. But we don't talk enough about the trauma that has stemmed from single motherhood and how it has affected black boys who have become black men. So if that is the truth, if single black mothers have contributed trauma subconsciously, indirectly, to their sons, they are just as the black woman who decides to marry these black men are just as they're just as needed in the healing of these black men that they decide to marry or be in relationship with.
Okay, makes sense. Dr. G, I know you were talking about before the break, setting the framework for this discussion, again, trying to figure out, and I'm thinking of the sisters out there. Let me go ahead and give the number out just in case any sisters want to call in and give their perspective or ask any questions to our experts. 646-787-1691. You will have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. But if you will want to set that framework for this discussion, especially for any sister out there trying to figure it out, who might, as Chris just mentioned, be dealing with a man, you know, there's high percentages, myself, raised by an amazing mother as well. But at the same time, maybe dealing with a man who hasn't, in a sense, maybe had that balance. You got a book about that as well. And so, you know, how does that work if a sister's trying to help out a man who's trying to figure it out, who didn't necessarily have the example, if you will. Go ahead, Dr. G.
Yeah, I agree with everything that Chris has said and that you've said as well. And so in my mind, when I began to conceptualize the question, of course, I look at it mentally, I look at it spiritually, emotionally, and physically. So that's the conceptual framework that I've used for understanding the question. So support has to be spiritual. It has to be emotional. It has to be mental and physical. Right? So we can break that down into those four dimensions. And so spiritual support, what is spiritual support? During the break, there was something being played in the background, and the sister was talking about creating the atmosphere in which the man can express himself, right? An atmosphere in which he can show up honestly and authentically. You know, that's speaking to the energy, the spirit of the woman, right? Where is she at spiritually in terms of her self, right? In terms of her relationship, and what is the energy that she is bringing into the space with this man? And so when we talk about how a woman can support, first is to check into yourself, see spirit. Is there a need for forgiveness? has there been transgressions, right, that need to be addressed? That's a spiritual condition, right? Is there openness and receptivity to the man in the struggle? This is energetic and spiritual, right? Mental, what is your mindset? What is the woman's mindset? Does she see this as a sign of weakness, that he's reaching out for help? Or does she see it as a wise move to seek wise counsel? Right? How does she think about mental health? What triggers in her mind when that comes up? Right? And so what is the mindset? The mindset creates the atmosphere in the real world. Right? The spiritual creates the universe, the energy, right? And then also emotional. Right? When we talk about support, is she compassionate? Right? Is she thoughtful? Is she considerate? Right? And then there's the physical, in my mind, the physical, which can be, is she supporting him in terms of nutrition? Is she supporting him in terms of physical touch that has powerful healing energy, right? Is she supporting him in terms of engaging in exercise, which we know produces chemical responses in the body that address depression, anxiety? And so the support is spiritual, it's mental, it's emotional, it's physical. And that's the conceptual framework that, you know, I put out there for this conversation. It's multidimensional. And the other thing is something that I see and I have seen for decades, and this is an important factor, is that here now in the 21st century, given all of the data, all the statistics, and the consistent attack on mental health in the Black community, it's important, and I think Chris mentioned this, that to shift the focus, not just in terms of building financial wealth and security, but expanding that focus to understand that if you have financial health but don't have mental health, it's not going to be sustainable. And so Black men need to invest in their mental health. I see this in the Black community with women. I'm co-owner of Self Mastery Retreats International, and I'm just going to plug it. We're giving up the Black Man Self Mastery Retreat in February, where there'll be a small group of Black men meeting here in Mexico. I live right outside of Cancun, and we're going to dive into self-care, self-actualization, spirituality, ritual, ceremony. We'll be deep in, we'll be in the Mayan jungle at a resort. This is an investment in your mental health. And so we see women are doing retreats. They gather together. They come together in sisterhood to support each other through trauma. And as men in the 21st century, those of us who make that investment are going to see exponential growth and ability to master the current conditions that exist in the United States and around the world. And so I think that that's an important piece that Black men need to understand. Are you dedicating time to your growth? Do you have a spiritual practice, right, that's consistent? Do you have a physical practice? Right? Are you investing in self in terms of your mental health? And I think that's critical. I'm seeing it. I see it in the men that I work with. Most of the men that I work with, they want the cliff notes. You know, they want to check in, and when they feel good, they want to check out. You know, those of us who ascend to the higher levels, man, I'm sure Chris, you, Montoya, have consistently, disciplinedly, invested in your mental, emotional health for growth.
Well, yeah, let me jump in, if you will, Dr. G. You know what I mean? I'll, you know, I've made myself available for it. I would say not enough, personally. I just assuming outside looking in, Chris has probably made that investment enough. I haven't invested enough. I can, you know, personally admit that. And one thing that came up, and I see Brother Kevin wants to jump in out of South Carolina. We'll definitely get you in here quick, brother. For the callers that are calling in, you do have to press 1 if y'all want to join the conversation. But with that said, real quick, before I go to the caller, thinking of today's topic, Dr. G, and going to Chris here. And so we were having the discussion of, like Chris said, it was kind of twofold how we ended up answering the question. But the thing that really stood out, and I think this is the most part that's most pivotal to this conversation, was we had women standing up in the audience, and what the biggest thing was, how do I get that man to take that step? So it's not an easy step. Like you said, you're seeing the women do the investment, the men are not. And so for a woman, for today's question, in a sense, how, you know, what should she do? What can she do to assist? We gave some answers at the panel or whatever. But Chris, I wanted you to kind of jump in, because again, just making it very pertinent to today's discussion, I felt like we definitely constantly had women trying to figure out, how can I help my, you know, help my man in this situation? Because like Dr. G said, there was a unwillingness to invest in the therapy, or as he said, maybe you go, as soon as you feel good, you're out of there, not really understanding the full effects of therapy. Your thoughts, King?
Yeah, man. So I love everything Dr. G said as well. I think a lot of men's trauma, you know, obviously most of our trauma starts at childhood, you know, we dig deep enough. But I think a lot of the, you know, as it relates to us not taking care of ourselves and investing in self-care and investing in the healing journey, has a lot to do with, what's been perpetuated as it relates to how we're supposed to show up, right? The world has told us that the work that men should show up as the providers, as the protectors, as 100% masculine, right? All these attributes of masculinity, and that has become our truth, right? And as a result, it harms us, right? And one of the major attributes of this, of the role of masculinity that's been put on us, is that we should provide. And as a result of that, women have been conditioned to love us under the condition that we provide a thing, right? So with that being said, I think women should, you know, I wouldn't say no longer continue that perpetuation and push that on us, but I think being that we do everything for women, like we get our hair cut for women, we put on cologne for women, We go out to the best jobs for women, the nicest cars for women, right? So we do anything for women. So I think it would be amazing if women loved us not under the condition that we provide something, but made it popular and sexy that they love us under the condition that we do the work to heal. Because when we heal, If we go back to the etymology of the word heal, it means to be whole, right? So I think women should push that on us, man. And if they push that on us enough, man, watch what happens. You know, and I think about the movie, the story that Spike Lee redid that talked about, I think the film was called Chi-Rat. And in the film, all the women, they came together and they said, All the black men out here killing each other, and it was a remake of like a Shakespeare story, right?
So
all the women that was like, you know what, we are no longer giving men sex until they stop killing each other on the streets, and they came together and they all stuck to it, and the solution was the men stopped killing each other. So what if women came together, right? I know this is a big dream of mine, right? But it's an idea. Right? What if women came together and said, you know what? We're not perpetuating to men that all their value is in what they provide for us. All their value is not how much money they got, but their value is and how much work they have done to heal, to become whole. And we'll listen. We'll pay attention. We pay attention to women more than they, more than a lot of times they give themselves credit for. We pay attention to them. So I think women need to get to just be confident in pushing that on us. And I think that right there can make us some progress in this journey.
Now, I love it, man. We're up against another break, and we'll get the brother Kevin out of the break. But it reminds me of a brother by the name of Tommy Bottoms, a poet. I'm pretty sure you know him as well, Def Jam poet. He did this amazing play called Educated Gangster 101, and he talked about, in a sense, the power of the P. You know, obviously that word is played around with or whatever, but he ultimately was just saying that if women said it was cool to walk around in pink bunny suits and that's who they wanted, men will be walking around in pink bunny suits.
Amen. No, for real, for real.
Nah, we up against the break, brother. We'll play this break and we'll get the brother Kevin coming out of the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. For the callers out there, we have to question one of
you. Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wines. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping deal or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Try the sweet red first.
That's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure. That's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on, too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
Bad.
No, so let's talk about this, because you wanted something. So I'm going to just say it straight up. I don't think women care about men's mental health. I don't think women care about men's well-being. Not all women, but there's majority of them that don't care. And it's true. You know how many videos I see on here that, like, girls would be like, oh, he should just suck it up. Men who cry are weak. Men who don't provide are this. Men who have little dick energy. It's always something about men. Like, I remember that I hate men trend that went around? How come there's no I love men trend? Exactly, because y'all bitches hate men. Y'all hate everything about him, but the only thing you want is their money. Seems a little fucking userish to me. And seems like you only care about guys' money. You don't give a fuck about men. You don't care about their well-being. You don't care about what goes on with their life. And that's the sad part, because men matter a lot too, just like women. But this society teaches women that you guys are just a shit and men ain't shit. Men have to fucking have a shitload of money to be categorized as a good man. Stupid as fuck. A good man is how you conduct yourself and how you talk to people and how you treat others, not based on your fucking money.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, my significant other is struggling with mental health. What should I do? Special guest, Dr. G, as well as Chris James, as we play, I would say, an extreme cut, but if you just did not know, we are not a politically correct show. And so I say extreme from the sense of people being frustrated, and the extreme is usually not where things are at. The truth is usually in the middle, but I felt like it highlights some of what Chris was saying about the expectations or whatever that young sister was actually offering her frustration for, in a sense, how men can be seen. I'm definitely interested in hearing what both of y'all think of that cut. But let me get to Brother Kevin first. Hey, Brother Kevin out of South Carolina, what you got for us? Give us your 3 cents on this discussion this morning.
All right. Oh, I understand the brother said he's an anger management specialist, right? Is that my clear that?
Yeah, right. You're right on.
Yes.
I actually need you, because here's the key. I need you. I'm a man. I'm a black man, and I'm angry. And I want to take this tour on the road. That's what's wrong with us today. Black men are not angry enough to be heard. See, we're in a society that says black men can't express their feelings. Black men don't have a say in anything that's going on in the society that was given to us. Oh, when they stripped us out of those homes, they took away our ability to take care of our family. What I mean by, I'm not talking like the way the system is was set up. So when black men start to stand up and say, hey, we need this done, we need to do it like this, we need to do it, society, and they take and use our women to tell us, hey, we don't want to hear from y'all no more.
Mm-hmm.
See, men are designed and gauged by how and where they stand amongst other men. And in this world right now, men are not allowed to be men. And if they are, we so-called toxic. Ain't no such damn thing as being toxic and masculine. Either I'm masculine or I'm not. Because men decide, like you said, to protect and provide. There's nothing wrong with that. Men, women respect men who protect and provide. And I mean amongst other men. They gauge you how you handle yourself amongst other men. And do other men have the desire or the ability to make you not be a man by taking your resources, by taking anything from them, by being able to harm the family, harm the community? When we take our rightful roles and be men again, and not this thing that they allow you to speak. The only men that allow to speak now is them alphabet fellas. And y'all know I'm telling the truth. Them the ones they put up on the pedestal. And that is what's going on with us now. Real men ain't even on TV no more. Real men are not allowed to be seen in mainstream so-called media. Most all your media men are them alphabet boys. And we need to have that discussion, and everybody's scared to have that discussion. But men don't need a permission to have that discussion. We need to start having that discussion. We need to be taking these streets back. That is the only key. That's the only way we're going to fix our dilemma. Men need to stand up and be men, and everything will fix itself. The women will fix themselves. The children will fix themselves. The other men will fix themselves because they ain't got no choice. Because you get down or lay down, all this softness, this soft power that they're trying to make us, that's not manly. Soft power will not fix the problems which we have in our community that is, and we are choking and dying from today.
So
we
Brother
need
Kevin,
to be men. Go ahead.
Now, Brother Kevin, you know, I always appreciate your passion because, again, we allow for you to get off your 3 cents and get your passion in. So I hear you saying a whole lot in reference to this morning's discussion. My significant other is struggling with mental health. What should I do? Again, you expressed a lot of issues. Can you give me at least one thought on
– But said see, that's where the mental health is coming from. Because men leave –
I didn't ask you a question yet.
I responded to the question.
I didn't ask you a question yet.
Okay.
But I want to get the question out. So I heard you obviously say, hey, you are angry or whatever. I don't know if you have a significant other, if you will, but do you have any thoughts on what your significant other might or could do to alleviate some of this anger that obviously you're calling this show to express? Because I am even trying to move the show to the question, if you will. So any thoughts on any help from your significant other to help you deal with, like, do you go, if you're angry, do you go to therapy? Does she encourage you to go to therapy? Like, any ideas of what that could look like from your significant other? Because that's the question this morning.
Okay. All right. Yes. I want first of all, I'm married, full family and everything. So I'm speaking from an expert side of the thing because I have a successful marriage. And here's the thing about that. Do the same thing. Remember what I'm talking about, those other men groups. Do the same thing the other women do. The other women in other groups support their men. We have the only group of women that were trained to attack their men. Just support your man and don't let other people influence you.
BS, Kevin. I'm gonna let my experts jump in on this thing, but I'm calling BS on what you just said. I'm calling BS 100%. At the end of the day, our sisters have been supporting us much more than we give them credit for. But I'm gonna let Dr. G jump in here. Looks like we have another caller that wants to jump in as well. So you might have to get back in, Brother Kevin. Again, you are a long-time caller, so I'd like to give you your time, but you're going to have to get back in. I'm going to go ahead and let Dr. G respond to some of what you said. But again, I would like to angle the show back to the actual question. What can our sisters do? And I would offer that our sisters are supporting us, but in reference to us being willing to invest in mental health, like Dr. G said, I think that could be an issue, because I think we as men often push back on getting mental health because we think it looks weak or whatever. Now, some of our sisters have been trained that as well. Again, it's not all across the board, but ultimately our sisters do try to support us. But when it comes to mental health, that's a tricky space, in my opinion, because of some of the stigmas that are still associated with it, in my opinion. Go ahead, Dr. G. Thank you, Brother Kevin, for your 3 cents this morning.
I think one of the things, man, that's important is we change the vocabulary, we change the description of actually what is happening. To me, therapy, mental health, these are words that come from the very people that produce mental illness in our community, and we're trying to use their words to be part of the healing process. And you know this, Montoya, like when people come to me and seek me out to work with them, I speak about it's a smart thing to seek out wise counsel. I don't talk about you seeking therapy for me, because I've transcended that. Mm-hmm. We have to transcend that to a different level. And so I think it's very important that we become more meticulous and labeling, identifying, and describing exactly what it is that we're doing. Because what we're talking about is the origins that black people, African people created. So like I just described someone that I'm a Laban, right? This comes out of the Maasai tradition of practitioners who provide healing to the Maasai community. I think that we have to get out of this terminology that comes from the oppressor, because there is a deeply rooted trigger that comes from these words. Right?
Right.
So my brothers and sisters, when you reach out, understand that you're reaching out for wise counsel. The one thing that we can't do is to be objective, right? And every powerful person on the planet has wise counsel. The President of the United States, and we all know how wise you can call a counsel, but he has a counsel, right? It is a power move to seek wise counsel, right? So I don't use these words because I know the origin of the words. I've been through this system. I went past through this system, but I know it.
Matter of fact, let me say this real quick, Dr. G, because we got a couple of minutes before the break, and we got another caller, and I was able to get my co-host on as well, so I'm going to get her on after the break. But I think this is the perfect time, because, Chris, I'm pretty sure you remember this, at the Black Men's Need Healing Conference, Dr. Kirk said the exact same thing. So it's almost like it's a reminder to hear Dr. G remind us, for example, for the woman who's wanting to move forward. Dr. Kirk said at the remember that my sister was saying, how do I get my brothers? How do I, you know, get them into, and he said, get counseling for the family. Counseling is a whole nother word. So I feel like it's real critical that we point that out, but I'm pretty sure you remember that as well, Chris. So you got about a minute and a half before break. So if you can just kind of highlight how we've heard two therapists say, get away from these common languages that run us away from mental health. Your thoughts, King.
Yeah, so is that on me, Montoya?
Yeah, it's on you. Yeah, you got about a minute though. Just make it quick, and we'll let you finish after the break.
So I'll agree with Dr. G, man. We have to get away from these words. How do you make a word? You spell it, right? So these words are spells, and we're casting spells on ourselves. And a sister said in the TED Talk, she said, words give birth to your thoughts, then to your actions, and then to your outcomes. So we have to be very mindful of the words we're using, because they're giving birth to these thoughts, then our actions, and then our outcomes. So we ought to only use words in our conversations that give birth to positive thoughts, to progressive actions, and then outcomes. So we can't go around saying that women ain't doing this, right? Because if we keep saying that, that becomes our truth. So every time we interact with a woman, our automatic truth that's already up there is that you ain't contributing to the healing process. You ain't no good because I've repetitively said that women ain't this and that they ain't doing this, and women do it all the time, too. Men ain't this, and all men do this. Like, no, the men you've experienced did that.
Right. Right.
But that is not the absolute truth.
Yeah, we got to
be specific.
Exactly. Now, let me jump to
this
break, and we'll let you finish up out of the break. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. This morning's discussion question, my husband/boyfriend is struggling with mental health. What should I do? We got a caller, a couple of callers that want to get in. We'll be right back, where all I ask is that you think.
Babe, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money.
Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, they still know it's me. Cause I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
Moneymotivation.com, moneymotivation.com, longtime sponsor. Go to their website to get the hottest streetwear brand in the land. This morning's discussion question, my husband/boyfriend is struggling with mental health. What should I do? Special guest Dr. Gerald Hassel as well as Chris James are now fortunate enough to have on my super duper co-host coming to the show, Nikki Devine. If you will, Nikki, say hello real quick. We're going to jump you right into the conversation before we, in a sense, get to the caller. I will challenge all of us. Nikki, you have a long time podcast, and you've dealt with mental health issues. I'm just going to do a quick introduction in the middle of the show, if you will. But I will say, and I know Nikki, you will help with this. I really want to go in the direction of the question. Chris, I think we only have you for another one segment. So I really want to get into the how that you talked about, Chris, in those personal dynamic versus this generalized conversation. Again, I appreciate Kevin and his passion, but that dynamic is not today's show, if you will, when we think about this particular question. Let me go. But thank you, Nikki, for being on. So if you will, give me a
good morning.
Quick thought. I don't know how much you've heard. Give me a quick thought, and I want to get to that caller as well.
Absolutely. Good morning. Good morning to everyone. Yeah, I do apologize for technical difficulties. But, yes, we are here. We are live, and I am so grateful for Montoya for even having this platform to be able to share, because we've gone into great detail. We've actually done a whole live MD experience on dealing with something very specific, which is how to deal with a partner who's dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is, you know, acronymed as PTSD. So, yes, I really appreciate you having this platform. I really appreciate you going deep into being able to open up your platform so that people can actually understand and know that there are so many different ways to handle dealing with someone who is struggling in any type of area of their mental health.
No, thank you so much. Let me jump to this caller and then, like I said, try to take advantage of Chris's time with us as well. Area code 912, last three, 913. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion question.
Good morning. This is Vaughn, calling from Savannah, Georgia. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, brother Vaughn? Glad to have you on, King. I definitely hope we can get into the specifics of our significant others, helping brothers, encouraging brothers to get into mental health. Go ahead, King. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. I got a couple of different ideas. To the question, I think some things that she can do. Obviously, life is hard for him, given what he's going through. So I say be a soft place to land. be the calm in his storm. What I mean by that is practice using constructive language and having constructive conversation. He may be negative. He may have a lot of negative thoughts and a lot of negative conversation, and you can practice countering that with constructive conversation, things that build him up, things that help offer results, solutions rather than help, rather than standing idly by while he dwells in the negativity, because that often leads to depression or more depression. I would say continue to be encouraging and supportive towards him getting help, whether that's professional or wise counsel or whatever. I would say be a soft voice, you know, and use that feminine energy. I think a lot of women don't realize how much power there is in that softness, and oftentimes they like to fight fire with fire, but I find that a greater level of strength is in her softness and femininity. Develop conflict resolution skills. That's critical because he has a lot of triggers. He may have a lot of triggers, and so learn his triggers and develop those conflict resolution skills, and also learn to de-escalate arguments. If he's battling mental health issues, it's probably pretty easy to set him off. And if you're aware of what his triggers are and you develop your own conflict resolution skills, that could go a long way towards helping. In all of that, I'm saying also, don't be a pushover. Be firm. Don't be a doormat. Don't allow him to violate healthy principles of life or healthy principles of the marriage, et cetera. So I'll yield.
No, I like that, brother. And, you know, obviously you can jump in and out if you will. If you want to get back on, just come off the one and back on the one if you get a chance to continue listening. But thank you for that 3 cents. I want to throw it to Nikki, who, again, just jumped on here with us. Because we've had that previous conversation, if you will, Queen, you really have a understanding of the skill set of how to walk through some of those dialogues. I think to Vaughn's point, if you will, of what that looks like, if in a sense you are the woman in that role, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but you talked about like how to enter the space of language to help maybe, like you said, your significant other is dealing with some type of mental health. And so if you will, you recall what that language and dialogue looks like as far as, I don't know if it was, I think I remember that the sandwich method, but I think I may be wrong on that. But if you could kind of.
Yeah, that was one of the examples.
Okay,
absolutely.
If you could talk about that, because it was profound when I heard you say it. So for any sister out there listening, maybe they can learn from this as well. Go ahead, Queen.
Absolutely. And this is not only just for the ladies that are listening. If you're dealing with a man or your husband that's struggling with mental health issues, but I just wanted to piggyback off of what the brother just now mentioned. You gave a nice, solid list, starting off with constructive language and being solution-driven. But before a man or a woman, because, you know, there's some women that are toxic as well, and so this is also for the men as well, when you're dealing with a woman that could possibly, your wife or your girlfriend that could possibly be toxic as well. Before I get into that sandwich method, I wanted to say this. Every woman or man needs to start off with a foundation of being able to have emotional intelligence. And what I mean by that is being able to look at a situation and being able to hear something negative and not take it personal. Women, we oftentimes take every single thing very, very personal. And it's so easy because we are emotional creatures. So for us to graduate into a level of being able to articulate what we see and what we hear and process it and give it back to the person, like the brother said, learn his triggers. Because myself personally, a lot of people don't know, but Montoya knows this, I was actually engaged to be married to a war veteran, and he struggled with PTSD, and I did not even understand what that was. And so me having the background of being in management, I was able to like really observe what was going on because I noticed there was a pattern. So to adopt a solid foundation of emotional intelligence means I was able to be able to look at the situation every time there was, like, say, an outburst and be able to assess the situation and say, okay, let me focus on his strong points. I don't like what's being said. I don't like how he's saying it. So let me just focus on his reinforcing something positive and something that he does that has nothing to do with the actual situation in this moment. So in that sandwich method that Montoya mentioned that we talked about at our live MD experience is start off with a compliment, which is also coincides with being a soft place to land, but even deeper than that, because not only am I exercising my strongest feminine energy in this moment, but I'm also saying, okay, I see what's going on, but at this time, I want you to focus on something else, almost like a soft deflection of, but you're so good at this in this area, and then say, but I really don't like this, what's going on in this moment, and then close the sandwich with saying, well, this is what we need to do moving forward. And let me tell you, it, a lot of times it did work, and a lot of times it did not. So, I mean, we can go into it deeper, but I know we have a time limit, but yes, to respond to what the brother said, constructive language, being solution-driven, all of that is of no avail, even when you're trying to encourage your partner, until you can adopt emotional intelligence and be able to be in the situation and not take it personal, it's going to be a struggle until you can get to that point.
I think that's very fair. Dr. G, can you kind of give us your expertise on what you're hearing right now?
Yeah, I agree with everything that that the sister said. I'm just going to add some other things that I think. So, like, let's say that we have a couple, and both of them are openly receptive. The brother understands that he's going through some difficulties, and he wants the support of his wife, and his wife wants to support him, right? What can you do, right? So here's some things that I think that can happen, that the woman can actually do as well, in addition to what's been said. The use of essential oils, lavender, applying lavender to his food, bringing fragrances into the home that are soothing and calming. These are powerful plant medicines. The olfactory senses affect our mood. We can be walking down the street and run across something that smells bad, and it can affect our mood. So bring fragrance, smells, aromas into the home that help to calm this person down and yourself down. It changes the atmosphere, the energy in the home. The other one is the man eating too much refined sugar, right? We know that sugar is unhealthy. It is something that can exacerbate mental health issues, by using that word again. But what is he eating? Is he eating fresh food? Is he eating food that provides the nutrients, the minerals that allow his brain to function properly, to regulate his body, right? So take a look at how he can be supported from a dietary perspective.
Nice.
Right? The other thing is to change the lighting, right? We are affected by artificial light in the house, and there are studies that show that when we change the lighting, that lighting that is overhead, that comes from the ceiling, stimulates the left hemisphere of the brain, all right? So in the morning when you want to work, this is why you go in the offices, the lighting is up top at the ceiling, all right, because it's stimulating the logical side of the brain. Change the lighting to soft lighting, soft lamps. This affects the mood, right? The other thing that I think that could be done is certainly turn off the electronics. Unplug from the television. This could be a major source of emotional difficulties and problems, right? Sisters just talk about triggers. Things that come across the television that triggers, right? So do that. The other thing that I think is very powerful, two things, is to introduce music back into the environment. I'm surprised that when I talk to people, like, well, when's the last time you just listened to the music? Music that you see,
These are a lot of amazing steps, Dr. G, and I'm only sneaking in because I want to make sure I'm respecting Brother James' time. How much time you got with his brother James? You need to get off at the top of this hour. I just want to kind of, because I want to make sure people figure out how to stay in contact with you if you need to go.
Oh, man, I'm going to hang out for about 25 more minutes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. All right, go ahead, Dr. G. I'm about to hit the top of the hour break, so that last step as well. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry, I just wanted to make sure I was taking care of our guests.
Yeah, I respect. So music has vibrations. Vibration, all things vibrate. It's one of the seven hermetic principles that govern the universe, vibrations. Bring music into the environment. What maybe two of you can listen or move and dance and flow together and become in sync again, right? The other thing that I think is also valuable, essential, is you have someone who's cooperative, like, sweetheart, yes, I want your support. Whatever you think is something I should do, you know, I'm open to that, right? This is the man's position. Get that man in nature. Allow him to be around trees, something natural. To me, man, one of the ways that I define insanity is that we believe that unnatural environments are natural and natural environments are unnatural. This is what the matrix and the system wants us to think, so that when we're in natural environments, we don't know how to respond because we're out of sync. We're not operating at the frequency of the creator of the earth, which has healing powers, man, that can come to us through the vibration of the planet, right? So if she is supportive and he's open, get your man into nature. I don't care where you're at. Right? I grew up in Harlem, South Bronx, so I don't care any major city that you're at. There's a park that you can go to. Take
nah,
it to the park, go for a walk.
Nah, I love
those,
it. We had to talk about
things.
No problem. Nobody. I love all these suggestions. We got a caller that wants to get in as well. For anybody out there online that wants to get in, 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691. You have to press 1 to let us know you want to speak. I will. We are specialized in hard conversations on race, sex, and culture, and I'm highlighting that for all of you because this next cut's going to take us in a different direction because I feel like it has to be dealt with from this perspective, and we challenge ourselves, if you will. So just you'll hear this commercial and then a cut that I think takes the conversation, in my opinion, exactly where it needs to be based on, unfortunately, a lot of the stigmas surrounding what it looks like today. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Truth seekers, please understand, Mental Dialogue is much more than just a talk show. Each and every Saturday, we communicate with you for two reasons, to dialogue and connect. On the dialogue side, we cater to you intellectual outcasts who feel you have no place for honest discourse on race, sex, culture, and African-American business. On the connect side, we've created a community where you can connect with experts specifically in finance, whether personal or business, and mental health, whether it's trauma or to optimize performance, along with all the other skill sets from other MD community members. Our mission was to create a virtual nationwide neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services through social media, meetup, and this podcast. To become a neighbor of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, please visit us at mentaldialogue.com. We are better with you than we are without you. We can be neighbors even though we don't live next to each other. Hashtag raise the culture.
What do you say to young men who come to you for advice?
I say that life as a man is exceptionally difficult. I say the most beautiful and the most terrifying thing about being a man is you're born without value. Society doesn't care about you. You're only going to be cared about based on how useful you are. You have the chance to build yourself up and become a superhero if you're prepared to do the hard work and be indefatigable enough to never quit. But if you're going to stand around and wait for a handout, nobody's going to ever respect you. And I think that a lot of people have forgotten about how difficult and how competitive it is as a man. We're always in constant competition with each other. And it's your duty as a man to stand up and say, I want to be as important and strong and good-hearted and God-fearing as possible. And I need to work hard to achieve those things. And the dangerous thing about overly emotional men is that they're dangerous. They're genuinely dangerous. This is what's crazy. All these people who talk about toxic masculinity and how bad it is for men to be traditionally masculine. A traditionally masculine man does things he doesn't feel like doing because it is his duty to do them. He charges into the burning building because it is his duty. Not because he feels like it, because it is his duty. We're now teaching the new generation of men that they don't have duty and they can just act on their feelings and act how they feel and they don't have to act as a man should. Do you know what happens when you get men who just act how they feel? You get school, you get violence, you get... Men who do not control their emotions are dangerous. If you find a man who is stoic, he's not going to hurt people. He's going to sit and think about his actions very carefully, and he's going to be a good man who protects and provides for his family. If you find a man who just acts out on impulse and does whatever he feels like, you're going to find a dangerous man. Sitting here telling men to cry more and act with their feelings and it's okay to feel this way, that way, etc., and have no self-control. That is why we have the problems we have in the world. Absolutely not wrong. So when they talk about toxic masculinity, they have it completely inverse. On its head, completely and utterly wrong. We need to be teaching stoicism. We need to be teaching young men to understand that the world is very, very difficult. It's hard to be a man. You're going to feel bad sometimes. You just suck it up and perform anyway. Not to sit there and cry your eyes out or blame other people.
Tough being a woman too in modern society.
It's certainly tough being a woman, but I'm not a woman, so why would I speak on issues I do not understand? I'm a man.
You can feel an empathy for women.
I feel empathy, certainly, but I do not understand their issues.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Nikki Devine. This morning's discussion question, my husband slash boyfriend is struggling with mental health. What should I do? A special guest, Dr. G, as well as Chris James, with us for a few more minutes. We do have a caller that wants to jump in, so I'm going to get this caller in before we address that Andrew Tate, if you don't know that voice. cut, if you will. Area code 478, last 3303. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion. 303.
Hey, family,
Black.
This is Sincere, man.
Hey, what's up? Mm-hmm. Yeah, King. Yeah, jump on in this
welcome,
thing, man.
Welcome, brother. Welcome, brother Sincere. Welcome.
Peace, man. I love the conversation, man. I love the conversation, and I appreciate everybody that's on the line. What's up, Doc G? My brother Chris, Montoya, Nikki.
Love you, bro. Love you, bro.
Did we lose you, Sincere?
Yeah. No, man. I'm just forming those thoughts, man.
No, we with you, brother. We with you, man. Take your time, brother.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you. The family is going through a trying time. And this conversation is very, very important. But I'd like to say that holistically, spirit, mind, and body, we need to understand that our mind is one element of a three-part process to life. So for the ones that are struggling, in good times, surround yourself with a village. And I'm glad I've been able to do that with my wife, awesome family, friends, like y'all.
With you, brother. We are with you, brother. Yeah, let me...
And that really helps, so...
No, that's really...
Love... Yo, love is powerful.
Yes, sir.
So love on yourself, just like Doc G talked about. Use it. Connection to others. Don't go inside of the cave. Lean into the love. Number two, and love is spiritual. At the highest level, it's spiritual. It's about connection. It's about oneness. You also want to be mindful of language, the language in your own head. The language that you surround yourself with, which I've heard that a few times, that's awesome. And laugh. Love, language, and laugh. That equals life.
Mm.
And be next to life. Be next to nature. Be next to the living. Surround yourself with that. And have somebody close to you that can support that. So that's all I had to offer, man.
That's a lot, brother. Let me say this before
that's
you go.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Let me say this
especially
you
when
go,
you talk
bro.
About the love. That's so good.
No, absolutely. Let me say this to this brother so I can let him go. Brother, man, I have chill bumps right now because I just want to just give a little context and perspective and say thank you because right now, as you can tell, we are a family on this show, and so we obviously know Brother Sincere very closely. And he briefly mentioned going through trying times right now. And I want y'all to understand the reason I have chill bumps right now is because this brother, while going through trying times, not only came out to support our event, and he and I talked about it personally from the sentiment of him being in a stoic, protective space for his family to just take a break from what they were going through. And to a degree, we agreed that last night provided him some of that. So for him to call in the midst and still give at this time, I just need to let people understand what you're hearing is an incredibly strong brother that's still giving and supporting the community in a very trying time in his own life. So I just got to tell you personally, man, I thank you for this amazing moment. Again, this ain't just a radio show. As it mentioned at the top of the hour, we are a neighborhood dialogue and connecting for real. This ain't just a talk show. And so I just had to say personally, thank you. And I just can't thank you enough for doing this at a time like this because I know, you know, personally what you're dealing with. So thank you, brother. Very powerful moment on the show. I'll never forget it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, and I love you, man.
Love you,
all
too.
All of
you. That's real. Thank you, King. Yeah, I
we love you, too, brother.
Yeah, I can't
speak
enough.
We love you, too, Sincere. We love you. You know you have our support 100%. And, yes, like Montoya says, we may not know the details of everything that's going on in your life, but we so appreciate your strength, and we appreciate your strength in shedding a tear to let other brothers know that it's okay. It is okay to shed that tear because it allows other people to be vulnerable in that space as well. So we just want to let you know that you have our support 100%. And that's another thing, too, that I wanted to share with the show as well, Montoya. When women are dealing with their partners or their husbands in these situations, it's always nice to not criticize the tears that you see. Don't criticize these vulnerable moments. Don't say, why are you crying? Don't say, what are you doing? Toughen up, man up. Don't use that language. Get rid of that language and just embrace the moment. Don't even say anything in that moment. Just embrace the moment and be there and be present. So you have our support 100%. You have all of our love and all of our support, and I mean that 100%. You know that, Sincere. You and your wife can call me and ask me for anything, and Montoya for anything. So whatever is going on, if y'all need any type of support, just let us know.
No, that's real. But the stuff that he actually did, like the advice that he gave, go ahead, Chris. I think that's you. Go ahead, brother. Jump in.
Yeah, and I want to say this, man. You know, as we go back to, you know, again, Sincere is my brother. You already know I love you, brother. But as Sincere speaks, and I want to tie in some of what Dr. G said too, as it speaks to his steps, you know, as it relates to how the woman contributes. You know, since the beginning of time, the woman has been our healers, right? And I tell my wife all the time, like, that's your kitchen, you know, because a lot of healing happens in that kitchen, but all around the home and all the ways she contributes to my life. Like right now, she in the kitchen whipping up an amazing breakfast. I can't wait to eat it, right? But so a brother said to me about a month ago, a really good friend of mine, he said, man, I got really sick and I didn't know what was happening. He said, man, so I thought it was COVID. I thought it was this. I went to the doctor and he couldn't figure it out. He said, man, he said, I just decided to stop eating meat. He said, I'm 3 weeks in. He said, man, now that I've stopped eating meat, I realized that all that time, man, that I had been sick and going through all. He said, man, I was depressed. It was the food. You know, so when I hear Dr. G talk about, you know, how a woman contributes, you know, through a nutritional, from a nutritional perspective, I'm like, man, that's so real. Like, you cook a man a healthy meal, that contributes to his healing. Right? Or you create space for a man to be heard, that contributes to his healing, right? You know, so I recently did a TED Talk, and the TED Talk was called, and please look it up, Chris James TED Talk, and that TED Talk was called How Everyday People Can Help Prevent a Mental Health Crisis. Mm-hmm. And one of the first steps in helping to prevent a mental health crisis when somebody is going through a mental health struggle is to simply approach them, right? To simply approach them. And in that approach, what you're simply doing is creating space for them to be heard, creating space for them to express, right? There's a book called Battle Cry by Jason Wilson. And
it's very good.
Through that book, that it's important for us not to be masculine men, but to be comprehensive men. And what does it mean to be comprehensive? It means to not only be masculine, but to also be feminine and to exist as a full human. Because if you're just existing in your masculine, right, you are not existing in that feminine. The feminine and the masculine are just, they're both just as important. And as a man, you are all of those things. You're divine masculine.
Absolutely.
And divine feminine, right? And a part of that divine feminine is expressing that emotion in a healthy way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I say this. You know, Dr. G talked about the oils in the home and the smells and all. So, and I'll end with this. Men need flowers just as much and as often as women. There is science that proves that flowers in the home significantly improves the mood and emotions and healthy emotions of a human being, man or woman.
Well, I just want her to put the flowers out. Don't be handing them to me, though, Chris.
I'm gonna give you some flowers, black man.
She might know she's bringing them for me, but she can't tell me she's bringing them for me. You understand what I'm saying, King? Let me shoot to this break.
That flowers is the home.
I'm just keeping it a buck. You know what I'm saying? But we're gonna shoot to this break and keep this thing moving. You're listening to the Vincent Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you please.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
TCH Media, our newest sponsor. Go to mentaldialogue.com, become a member, and get discounts on sponsorship. Reach out to the smartest audience in all of radio, but TCH Media is definitely here to change the game. And you have a small business and don't want to miss those calls. They automate return calls and shore up the bottom line. So definitely want to thank them for becoming a sponsor of the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. This morning's discussion question, my husband/boyfriend is struggling with mental health. What should I do? And, good point, Chris. I want to kind of shoot back to the top of the hour just to highlight and discuss some of what we heard in the Andrew Tate discussion. Dr. G, will kind of start with you or whatever. I do find some value in what Andrew Tate is saying from this standpoint. And I've always had this perspective as we're starting to again, thank you for those that may just be tuning in. One of our guests here, Chris James, put on the Get Off the Couch conference last week, and we were on a Black Men Need Healing. I was on a Black Men Need Healing panel with some powerful brothers. And when I think about these discussions and some of this aspect, and I do feel a lot of value. I'm going to say a lot here, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, Dr. G. I do find value in, like Chris said, respecting that as humans, we have both in us, right? The masculine and the feminine. And sometimes that's not really understood in today's time. However, I do wonder to a degree, society tends to, with a lot of things, swing the pendulum sometimes, I would say, a little too far one way. And so as we start having language like safe space for men and things of that nature, I do find some value in what Andrew Tate is talking about with the understanding of being stoic. Like that's something to a degree that we got from our fathers when there was a consistent father in the home. And we've already kind of talked about that dynamic, if you will. And I'm not talking about stoic to the point of I never talk to anybody and I'm hurting myself, but to the extent that there's an aspect of it being lost, and to Andrew Tate's point, we're getting actually more violence from more emotional boys, more emotional men who've never seen, in a sense, a level of manhood, because I can't say I'm struggling with that word, but a level of manhood, there's a level of masculinity that seems to be missing and is leading to some of that issue, because those boys grow up to be men who are not protectors and providers, which we all said was a good thing. We just don't want that overstated. So I said a lot there, Dr. G, kind of jump in with your expertise just to highlight some value out of, again, it's not about Andrew Tate, the messenger itself, but I find some value in what he's saying. Your thoughts on that, King?
Yeah, there's some value there when, you know, he talks about being disciplined, being focused, being accountable. When we speak about masculinity and femininity, I mean, those properties exist, in both energetic forces. So But we've talked about words, and so word masculinity has been corrupted. And a lot of what we're talking about when we speak in this context is not really masculinity. For me, I'm going to tell you this. Listen, man, there's a divine blueprint for masculinity. It's across the board. You see it in the animal kingdom. You see it in the human family as well. The divine blueprint is that men, their masculinity, what is their job? My job is to show up and to be beautiful, radiant, regal, royal, and powerful, and function in the sphere consistently of integrity. When I show up and I'm beautiful, radiant, regal, royal, and powerful, everything else takes care of itself. When you look across the spectrum of life forms on the planet in the mammalian kingdom, that's what happens. This is why the peacock spreads his feathers. He's showing up beautiful, radiant, regal, royal, and powerful. If you want to understand what masculinity is, look at the divine blueprint. It's in the sun, moon, and stars. The sun comes up, and then the moon comes up and reflects the light of the sun. It's a reflection. Right? When you see an animal kingdom, you see this throughout. The most beautiful, radiant birds are the masculine gender of the species. Today, there's so many cardinals in Georgia, which I used to live in Georgia. When you see a cardinal today and it's a red bird, that's a male bird. We are to be beautiful in mind, body, and spirit. And so I think it's important because of the generational breakdown, the knowledge that has not been transferred and understanding, right, because the family structure is so fragmented. You don't have older brothers passing on this knowledge, right? This is what needs to be passed on. Masculine is beautiful. And you look anywhere in the divine plan across the spectrum of life, and that's how masculinity is showing up.
Chris, I'm going to jump. Chris, yeah, thank you, Dr. G. I'm going to jump in. Chris, I know he only had a few more minutes with us, and so I wanted to be respectful. So you got to get to that breakfast with your beautiful wife. I was glad to meet her last night at the live experience. But any thoughts or even closing thoughts as we continue this discussion about what our significant others can do? I think we've given a lot of suggestions, but if you will, I just want to make sure I get your closing thoughts before you go and let people know how they can follow your work. And you were telling us last night at the event how people also can become mental health first aid instructors.
Yes.
And I can. But go ahead, King.
Thank you for being here.
It's been a beautiful conversation so far.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm glad to be here. And I actually want to read a poem, so if I need to wait a few more minutes
go ahead,
to do
bro.
That.
It's your time. I'm just trying to make sure I ain't getting you in trouble if she's fixing you a breakfast. Don't blame me. I don't need to be with this juke. You know
what
I'm saying?
No,
you're about to go out and get her some flowers if you mess up because of this show. I don't want nothing to do with that, brother.
I bought a flower 2 days ago. She good for about 5 more days.
Oh, okay. Well, it's you, man. You might as well live for the next 40 minutes.
You're putting in the work.
Go ahead. Get that poem out,
King.
Go ahead, brother.
All right, cool beans. So this poem is called Black Men Cry, and I think it's very relevant to the now. And also in this poem, we'll provide some of those steps. So here we are. I like to speak to all the women on behalf of every black man, and today I like to be totally honest. I have no emotional capacity for your sorrows or your situations. I have too much of my own baggage to borrow your burdens, and baby, believe. Usually, I'd be willing to swallow my pride to pamper and pacify your problems, but today, my sun rises on a different side of the mountain, and yes, you still matter, but today, I matter a little bit more. I need you to hear me for once. I wiped your tears for years, but today I need you to wipe mine. No, I was never forcibly penetrated, but I too have had my innocence stolen way before I knew what it meant to be black and a man in America. I've been touched and molested in ways words can't describe. I've been in a war since the day I was born. I'm still trying to figure out how being something so beautiful can be a burden. It burns to know that my life is a lottery ticket. And at any given moment, I can become some officer's paid vacation, the world's next hashtag, a face on a shirt, a news headline, an excuse for a riot, some lawyer's rise to fame. I am just as much a man as any man, but I too cry rivers, enough to fill the Nile. They've been running for a while now, and no, it ain't 1855, but I've been whipped by the world too many times to keep count, and my back is about exhausted from bleeding from these here lashes. It's easy for you to say, suck it up, be a man, be a father, but hell, I ain't seen neither in all my days, other than Uncle Phil and Carl Winslow, but those are just shows. These roles are a lot more mental than they are tangible. It ain't no accident that so many black men still behave as boys and can't define fatherhood. No one ever paid these roles for us. We are struggling to do it ourselves while still being expected to carry you on our shoulders. See, sometimes us kings feel insecure, inadequate, and unsure if we meet the standards of your desires. If we still ignite the flames to your fire, compliment us. Remind us that we matter and that you need us and that we too are full of beauty. Affection doesn't just begin or end with the width of our arms wrapped around your body, but your touch is desired just as much. Fill us up with your love so we are never half empty. See, some days it feels as if our ribs and backbones are missing, and it ain't no sunshine when you're gone. Know that you are and always will be the key to our peace of mind. If there's ever a time that we're quiet, angry, frustrated, unpredictable, know that we are crying on the inside because we too feel pain. They say that crying is like taking your soul to the laundromat, and we men are well overdue for a cleanse. Again, women, we've been wiping your tears for years, but today we need you to wipe ours.
Wow. I'm going to let the queen get a first response. Go ahead.
Nice, very nice, very nice. Oh, that was absolutely amazing. That was Chris James, right, Brother Chris?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that was absolutely amazing. Yes, we really appreciate that. That line that hit, always the key to our peace of mind. That part is so absolutely powerful. Thank you so much for sharing your heart, and thank you so much for sharing that awesome, beautiful poetry piece. How long did it take you to write that?
Probably a day, you know, because it was on my heart. Mm-hmm. But I actually published that in my poetry book, Black Boy Blues, back in 2015. So that poem has been around for a while.
Oh, wow. Absolutely powerful. Absolutely powerful. Yes. So I wanted to also add on to what Dr. G was mentioning too, as well as what Chris mentioned earlier when he talked about Jason Wilson's book, Battle Cry.
Let me do this real quick, because I know he got the poem off, so I very much appreciate that. Again, want to make sure if you need to go, brother, I love how, just real quick, how Nikki pointed out that line, the key in our peace, and that reminds me of, you know, last week, when I was just highlighting, when they asked that question, what role does the woman play? And I was just reminding everybody that we go together. And I feel like that
absolutely
line highlights
absolutely
the complementary aspect of the fact that we go together. And that's a vision that's also lost in this struggle. But if you will, Chris,
it really is.
Yeah, if you will, Chris, let people know how they can stay in contact with you, where they can get that amazing book at, because that poem alone is enough to get the book. I want one, just so you know.
It sure is. I want my book, too. I want you to autograph copy my book, too.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Well, let me let that brother get out his public, if his social media information. Thank you for the time that you gave us this morning, King.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me by simply putting in any search engine, by putting in Chris James Journey. Again, I'm Chris James, and I'm on a journey. So Chris James Journey is the website, the Chris James Journey, and you can get that book. You can find my social medias by putting it in. Also, again, I mentioned I am a mental health first aid instructor, so I can certify you in mental health first aid through the National Council of Mental Well-Being.
All you got to do is be 18 or older, and you can be certified. It's a well needed training, I think, for everyday people. Again, you ain't got to have a degree in anything. Just be willing to participate in a 6-hour course facilitated by me, and you will be provided with the skills, the language, right? Because that language is important. Too many of us are emotionally illiterate, right? Do you know how to respond to a loved one when they're struggling with their mental health? Do you know how to respond to a loved one if they say, hey, I no longer want to live anymore? And that's a real thing, right? And I think that's something we got to have a real conversation about, how men represent almost 75% of the suicides in America, right? So do you have the language to respond when you see those significant changes in the pattern of men? September 8th is my next class, where I'll be, and that class is completely online on Zoom. And again, within a 6-hour and 1 day, you can be certified in mental health first aid. And I promise you, you're going to leave way differently than you did, than you came in. So, again, connect with me at chrisjamesjourney.com, thechrisjamesjourney.com, and you can get all that information on Chris James Journey on social media.
No, I love it. Thank you for your time. I'm going to ask you for a shameless plug for all the AT aliens who have not stepped into the Mental Dialogue Live experience, because you and your wife came. I don't know, it's your second visit. So you'll give me an unshameless plug for the live experience, and we're going to go to break. Thank you, King, for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Brother Chris.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, if you have not experienced the Mental Dialogue event that happens every month at Urban Grind, you need to be there. You need to experience it. If you come there dumb, you're going to leave smart. All right? It's just like that. All right?
Pull up. We up against the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, are you a wine drinker?
A little bit here and there, but my wife definitely loves hers. Why you ask?
Man, you got to try this vegan wine by Sip and Share Wine. I ran across them at this event in Atlanta, and now I keep me a few bottles at the house. What flavor you like?
I like me a good red or maybe a nice dipping deal or something. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, try this sweet red first.
Okay, that's nice and smooth right there. Yeah, that's kind of sweet, like I like it. You know what I'm talking about?
For sure, that's why I like that one as well. Hey, now try this Conjure Zinfandel. This one was featured in Forbes magazine as a top 10 drink for the summer. See what you think.
Oh, okay. Now that's fire right there. Where can I get a bottle of that?
Just go to sipandsharewines.com. They'll ship it right to your door. They black on too.
Oh, yeah? Okay, you said what? Sipandsharewines.com? Is that it?
Yep.
Bad.
Want to thank Ship and Share Wines, sponsoring the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. They were our sponsor last night at the Mental Dialogue Live Experience, letting people taste their amazing wines. I had a writing prompt section because this is highlighting our Black Love Summer Tour, if you will, this weekend. So we have events not just last night, every third Friday, but we have events today and Sunday as well. So last night was the kickoff, and Ship and Share Wines was there. And I had this one section was a writing prompt where I was asking people to write a love letter to their significant other or their future significant other. And I remember Chris and his group, they had went to the wine section first. And so when they got over there, they was like, man, we drunk. How are we going to write a letter? So they supposed to be in the section quiet. They all talking to each other. I was like, write your letters. And so one of the highlights was his wife said she ended up writing a poem for him at the event. So I just wanted to highlight again the Mental Olympics at the live experience last night. This morning's discussion question: my husband/boyfriend is struggling with mental health. What should I do? If you want to get on the call, 646-787-1691. Love all of the advice that we got from that brother, as well as Dr. G, our special guest. Again, Nikki, you've been in the space. I still think we need to highlight, and I love how Dr. G mentioned, you know, get around the better language. Again, Dr. Kurt saying, instead of saying, we're going to get therapy, I remember Dr. Curtis Jasper at the event last week, highlighted, and to Dr. G's point earlier, that there are certain words that are going to be abrasive in themselves. And Dr. Kurt pointed out that in desiring to get your mate some help, if you think there is a mental health issue, your sincere approach in the wrong language also feels like you're saying there's something wrong. And Dr. Kurt highlighted, it's not necessarily something wrong, but as Dr. G said, families always can seek wise counseling. And so Dr. Kurt talked about the idea of saying, instead of just simply encouraging your man to go to therapy, how about invite, if a therapist is willing to do so, Dr. Kurt, one of those, but invite counseling for the family, or a Dr. G, who we refer to plenty of people in the Mental Dialogue Community Club and people that come to us in crisis. We're constantly sending him referrals. He'll do it live on the Zoom. So instead of just sending your significant other to do it on their own, say, babe, can we seek some counseling from this brother who might help us through this issue? And doing it together now turns it out, it makes it not something's wrong with you, let us get help, could be the opportunity. Dr. G, any thoughts on what that looks like in that language once again for that significant other trying to help a man who's heard over the years is weak to seek this type of help, but it's very evident to his significant other he needs help beyond what they might can do inside of the relationship, beyond even talking to a pastor, if you will, because sometimes mental health requires that. So any, you know, respect of doing it together, how does she introduce it to him knowing he has a stigma associated around it?
Right, right. So, again, we go back to how it's introduced and the words that are used to make that introduction, right? So what I would say to a woman, what I'm going to say to both men and women who might be listening, this is important, I think. Fatigue often disguises itself as defeat. Sometimes we're not defeated. We just need to rest. Rest is essential, and this is something that black men oftentimes fall prey to, is that we are fatigued mentally, emotionally, physically. So we need rest, right? I think the other thing that a woman can do is certainly the idea of seeking wise counsel has come up because something has changed. Right? And so speak about it from the perspective of the opportunity mm-hmm. to regain your strength, the opportunity to move into new areas of intimacy, of closeness, of family cohesion, right? Speak about it from the perspective of the opportunity and what will be the outcomes, right? A deeper level of self-knowledge, right? Understanding of your family history and how it might impact you and how that understanding leads to power, right? So I would say to, you know, ask yourself first as a woman, what is the opportunity? And as one of the other brothers said, then speak life into the communication, right? Be methodical, be meticulous in your wording, and give a thought, right? And so it doesn't have to be expressed, and you know this in working with me, Montoya, like the deficit model. I mean, deficits are very real, but people don't come to wise counsel to maintain in a deficit mode. They come into it to be stronger, more powerful, right? This is what healing is. And so I would say to understand from the perception of what is the opportunity, then speak about the opportunity to be stronger, more powerful, to be more loving of self and of my wife, closer relationships with the children. I would say that would be how to think about it and how to speak about it.
No, it makes sense. And I would say for anybody out there listening who may be being exposed to, speaking of it as an opportunity versus something wrong. I love that language. And what do you think of this, Dr. G? Because as I hear it, I'm like, makes a lot of sense outside of if you are not used to that. Or like I think one of the examples Chris said earlier in the show was, or maybe Nikki said it, but the idea of, you know, maybe your significant other is in such a negative space and you're trying to flip those words or whatever. And so it can be difficult if you're not used to doing it. So what do you think of this idea? And again, it just popped in my head hearing you say this, Dr. G. Maybe talk to someone like yourself to even prepare for the approach versus hearing you say, you know, be positive, call it an opportunity. But if I've never done that, maybe I need to, I'm just throwing out a rough idea here, but maybe me as a significant other, maybe I should talk to you about, you know, share with you as a professional, hey, here are some of the issues. How do you suggest that I get you to come help my significant other? Does, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think of that idea?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Because then you are being informed, you're being educated, mm-hmm. right? And so information, education, knowledge, and strategy is only going to help the process. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. That would be a power move. Right? That's a boss move. Like, look, let me get some information and strategy to talk to my man in a way that opens him up and makes him more receptive to seeking wise counsel. Absolutely.
Yeah, let me get the session to learn how to approach my man. Like, that's a whole nother level, I think. Again, it just kind of popped in my head listening to you speak. I think it would be remiss not to discuss this aspect of mental health, and this is a reality as well, is there are incidences in which, as much as you may want to make it work, there are incidents in which your significant other isn't as responsive as necessary. Sometimes it may be something is consistently taking medication, and because of their mindset or stigma, they don't want to do it. And like, I've heard of this situation where the significant other is just fine based on their particular situation. And I want to, and by using the word medication, I don't want to alarm everyone out there. I would like to highlight like this from the time that we used to have the community checkup. Me and Sincere used to run that for 2 years via Zoom. I always want to highlight that in the space, there are very few medical diagnoses compared to all the non-medical diagnoses. I'm pretty sure Dr. G can talk about that or whatever. But I do understand that there is this inherent fear in the event that someone gets to the space and they may need medication. I've been through this with my own family member and just fine as long as they're consistent. Sometimes they have to adjust the medication and things of that nature. But the fear of medication alone I've seen it keep people away. And it tears up their relationship. So there are times in which if they don't seek enough help, you may not be able to help them enough. Nikki, I know you've had some, you know, an experience similar to that, but I don't think we should just only talk about it from what you can do. I think we also should make people aware of maybe when it isn't safe anymore, if you will. Any thoughts on that, Queen? We're going to give you a thought, go to a break, and let Dr. G come out of the break. Your thoughts, Queen.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's something I'm so glad you brought it all the way back around full circle, because it's very important for us to set boundaries in place. It's absolutely wonderful. Dr. Gerald, you dropped off some really wonderful, powerful jewels, especially when it comes down to eating healthy foods and changing sweet smells and aromas in the home as well, and even on your person, to always be fresh and always be clean. And that's always a positive a move forward. But also, I think Chris mentioned earlier when he talked about constructive criticism, develop conflict resolutions, learn triggers, and be firm. I want to bounce off of that. Be firm also means setting boundaries. So even as women, sometimes it's imperative that we set a boundary in place and say, okay, well, I'm going to be firm. I'm going to study. I'm going to adopt emotional intelligence. I'm going to be a soft place for him to land. And if all fails, we got to say, okay, this is my limit. This is how far I can go. Because if the person that you're dealing with is not open to therapy, if they're not open to conflict resolution, if they're not open to all the things that you've done, you got to say, okay, well, enough is enough. You got to have your own personal boundary. And that works for men as well. If you're dealing with a toxic woman, But we have to set boundaries and say, okay, not a time limit, but a boundary to say, if you don't, and that's what I had to do from my own personal experience being engaged to someone who was suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder. If you're not being intentional about seeking the therapy that you need and changing your habits, your daily habits of changing your diet, and all of the other things that we mentioned earlier, then that was my boundary. It was like, okay, well, I can't be your therapist. I'm not certified. I'm not certified, nor is it my responsibility. You have to set a boundary and say, okay, this is how far I'm willing to go. And this is my cap right here. Whatever your limit is, whatever your boundary is, you have to be clear on your boundaries and then stick to it. Don't say this is my boundary. If you don't go to therapy, I mean something as simple as, baby, if you don't go, and not even in an aggressive way, like in a very soft, a very loving, very compassionate way, like, honey, I'll be on the call with you, or I'll give you this quiet space, or, honey, take this time to be alone, be on the phone, go and just be intentional about it. And if you say, okay, well, he turns it down, or he doesn't go, or he doesn't show up for therapy like my ex-fiance did, then it was like, okay, babe, I tried. This is my third time trying, and so I can't do this anymore. And be honest. And then stick to it.
No, it makes a lot of sense. And I would highlight, I'll highlight, we got to go to a break, brother, Dr. G, and I'll get you out of this last break. And I would just highlight a special situation in which the process has been started. And I heard Dr. G say this in the first hour, where it's like sometimes the expectation is wrong. And so someone may stop saying, oh, it ain't helping. And they absolutely need to continue to build the muscle to continue improvement. And so, yeah, if that significant other stops along the way, if you've already gotten past the hurdle of starting, and then they don't want to continue the sessions or continue the medicine, I think that's the type of boundary I'm hearing Nikki refer to. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think. LNG Technology Services, we are your industry leader in aircraft and heavy equipment repair services. In commercial business for over 15 years, LNG technicians have over 150 years of equipment-specific knowledge and are known industry-wide for returning worn-out, broken, and overused ground support equipment back to the user in working better than new conditions. For a service job done right at a value unparalleled in the industry, contact LNG Technology Services at 478-781-4860. Again, for a service job done right, that number is 478-781-4860. LNG Technologies is a Mental Dialogue Gold member and proud sponsor of the Mental Dialogue community.
Funny how finally, as more women are in higher education closing the wage gap and gaining more independence, there is an uptick of men calling for submissive women, banning abortion, and birth control anti-feminism.
That reminds me of this video.
I think men don't mind us being hoes. They mind us being able to pay our bills without them.
This is about to be a very interesting conversation.
So I was in this clubhouse room recently where a bunch of men were asking women, what do you bring to a relationship outside of your body? And then all the women responded and said, what do you bring to a relationship outside of your money?
And then the answer came to me. You see my eyes watering? That means the answer came. We are both dehumanized. Wow.
This person figured out in 2013, but basically what I realized is that men being valued only by how much money they have and women being valued only by how beautiful they are actually causes both genders to only look at each other as tools. Most of our relationships today are not relationships of love, but rather transactions. But money is something we created. Value is something we created. So here's the craziest part. We imagine that our ability to create systems is what makes us human. It's funny how that very system has made us objects. I don't know what to do about that, but I love you.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host.
Welcome back.
I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Nikki Devine. This morning's discussion question, my husband slash boyfriend is struggling with mental health. What should I do? I played this cut a couple of weeks ago on the show, and I thought it was somewhat fitting just from the standpoint of while we're, in a sense, focused on helping, in a sense, that man. I thought it was necessary for this last segment, if you will, to just kind of highlight how, in a sense, social media, and I say going all the way back to the first hour, we're talking about the cycle of not seeing it naturally within families with the broken family structure that, unfortunately, out someone stepping in, we can be reduced to what we heard the poet Charity Croft talk about in that situation where we're just kind of looking to these things and putting value on these things and basically reinforcing men don't cry and reinforcing you're only worth what your money and vice versa to a woman, you're only worth your beauty. And these things are so limiting. And so I would offer, Dr. G, you know, jump in here, but I would offer that this reduction, kind of as Charity Croft pointed out, actually exasperates getting one another help in this area. Because, you know, there was a point earlier in the show where he talked about using vulnerability against one another. And so sometimes we know that we need help, but we're worried about the language of the understanding of our mate and how they're going to see us. You know, will they see us as weak, or will they eventually take that information that I talked about and use it against me later? Like, these are all real world things. Dr. G, I know I said a lot, but just kind of want to jump in. And again, I think it's necessary to be aware, as you said, of that language that we've adopted.
Yeah, I mean, reaching out for help is one of the hardest things so some individuals will ever do. So it's not easy. It's challenging. And, you know, on the issue of boundaries, Nikki just said it so eloquently. It's like, you know, women and partners have to set boundaries. It makes me think about the song, "I'm Leaving You for Me." Right?
Yeah.
And so there has to be an element of self-love. That's present, so that the rising tide could raise all of the ships in the house. Right? But it's not easy, but it's worth it. And so for those people who might be listening to the podcast that feel they do need wise counsel, I would encourage them to reach out. It's a game changer. It can transform and change their lives, you know, to have objectivity, which is the one thing that we cannot do. We can't be objective. Everything that we experience is a subjective interpretation of reality, right? So to be able to see and receive wise counsel outside of yourself is a boss move. It's powerful, right? So if we take this thing out of the concept of deficits and understanding that the opportunity is to be stronger, to be more knowledgeable, to be wiser, right, self-actualize, and become a better father, a better husband, right, and to actually begin to introduce the idea of loving yourself, right, so that what we're doing is to upgrade the operating system and the language that functions that system from the judge, jury, and executioner to the language of being compassionate, kind, and gentle, right? I'm going to tell you, listen, man, in my years of being in mental health, one of the things that I've seen very clearly is one of the core factors of mental health and having breakdowns in that area is integrity. When the person is out of alignment with themselves, when they're not honest and truthful with themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so understanding that, And I'm going to put it this way, as a king, I get to experience the full spectrum of emotional experience, pain, suffering, anger, depression. I also get to expect, you know, ecstasy, right? But what I can't do, my brothers and sisters, what you can't do is to abdicate the throne. You must reign. Because you were born to reign. And what is it that you reign over? Listen to this, it's very important. What you reign over is the trillions. You reign over the trillions of cells in your body. This is what this is all about. And when we're out of integrity, it affects the trillions. When we're experiencing depression, it affects the trillions of cells. Because ultimately, it's the trillions of cells that's going to take us out of here. Are they filled with truth, light, and love, and integrity? Are they filled with toxicity, anger, hostility, and hatred?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So for me, my mission and what I teach my clients very successfully is to understand, to reign over the trillions and the language that they respond to. I could say certain words to you right now, and your stomach could get upset just by the words and the thoughts that come to your mind.
Absolutely.
And it happens almost instantaneously. In the same way, we can also begin to invoke words, spells, into the environment that make you feel good, strong, powerful. Right? So it's difficult to reach out for help, but it's worth it. Right? It's worth it. It's a game changer.
You know, I'm reaching out more as well, and I really appreciate it, you know, from a personal standpoint. Area code 281, last 3123. You only got a few minutes. I don't know if you're just listening via the phone. If you're trying to get in, you do have to press 1. We might be able to sneak you in very quickly. Just loving this dialogue. I hope people picked up on a lot of pointers. I mean, I think it's so amazing that you brought in all the other factors, the food, the smells, the lighting, like all of these things can be factors in improving the situation. And it makes so much sense when I think about it.
Let me give a quick tip. You can do this for $2. Go and buy $3. Go and buy 4 bars of soap. Put it in the drawer with your man's clothing and put 1 over your bed. So that when you are in a subconscious state, as long as the aromas are not something that is part of the triggering system, but you're in an unconscious state where now there are fragrances and aromas affecting you mentally and spiritually, the clothing that you put on. I keep a bar of soap on the side of my bed so that when I roll over and I'm asleep, it affects my dreams subconsciously because I'm filled with beautiful aromas that are now inside my olfactory system, and I don't even have an idea that it's happening, but it's happening subconsciously.
That's
something that you can do for $2.
Wow.
And buy 4 bars of soap.
Oh,
put it on your night table so that when you roll over at night, you smell beautiful. You smell fragrance. In your dreams.
I love it, Nikki. Thank you for sneaking in on the show with us. If you will, just give us a quick closing thought. We're going to leave a minute for Dr. G to give out any of his information for anybody that might want his services. But thank you, Queen, for helping me with the show this morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was saying, if you will, Queen, just give a quick closing thought, and then we got to leave a minute. If you've got about a minute and a half, we got to leave a minute for Dr. G to give out his public information for people to get his services. But I want to give you a quick closing thought before you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. It's always been an honor, Montoya, for you to have me here. This is not my first. It won't be my last as well to co-host this absolutely wonderful platform that you're doing. I'm so proud of you. If no one else ever says it, I'm going to say it. My brother, I am so proud of you because you've created this platform to allow people to have a safe space. Thank you so much, Chris. I know he's already gone. Thank you so much, Dr. Gerald, for being on. I just want to say to the ladies that are listening in onto the show, it's very important that you understand that if I leave you with anything, if you never heard anything else in this entire 2-hour segment, understand this. It's better to respond than it is to react, okay? In every situation that you're dealing with when it comes down to your intimate relationship with your partner, your husband, or your man, it's always imperative for us to learn how to adopt these skills to be able to respond and not to react. So, again, Montoya, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate everything that you've done, and I'm so, so proud of you.
Now, thank you, Queen. Dr. G, if anybody wants your services, how do they get in contact with you, brother?
My email address is Dr. My first name is Gerald, G-E-R-A-L-D. My last name is H-A-S-S, as in spirit, and supernatural, E-L-L, as long-lasting love, H-A-S-S-E-L-L. @gmail.com. You can reach me there. My phone number is 678-548-2456. You can send me a text. Reach me directly, and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, if you are a Mental Dialogue member, you have direct connect to Mental Dialogue. Encourage any of the listeners out there, if you understand what we're doing, it's dialogue and connect. We're not just a talk show. If you want to get connected to resources, that's what we try to bring to you as experts in the field, then become a member at mentaldialogue.com. We need support. It is not free to be on the internet, believe it or not. So your support, whether it's gold level, platinum level, we definitely need your support to stay on the air and grow the membership. If you're in Atlanta, Black Love Summer Tour, we have the 3 p.m. Black Love Dinner at 3 p.m. We're going out to Jazz in the Alley at 6 p.m. today, and tomorrow at 1 o'clock is my book signing over at Bakari's Pizza. Hopefully y'all will join us for the tour. Nikki, on the air, I'm calling you out. Come see me because we missed you last night. All right, y'all, we gone. All I ask is that
you're rain. The rain, man. It slowed me down. Sorry.
Jesus blessings.
All right, we'll see y'all next time.
Thank you, Montoya.
Now, thank you, King.
Love you, bro.
Love you, too, King.